Message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today we conclude my 8-part sermon series on stewardship. By now, I hope it is clear to everyone that the biblical teaching on stewardship is so much more than how much money we give to church. As important as it is to support the mission of God's church with the first fruits of our giving, stewardship is so much more than that. In fact, we've learned two important things about stewardship that I've repeated in every sermon. First, we must receive from God before we can be His stewards. Not only does God give us life and all our physical blessings, but even more, He gives us spiritual life. He gives us the forgiveness of sins and the certain hope of living forever as His dearly loved children. And we receive these things through the gifts that God has given us. Baptism, the preaching and teaching of His Word, the Lord's Supper. We continue to receive from God as we get His gifts through these means of grace, and that's how we're empowered to live for Him. That leads to the second thing. We learn that stewardship is a way of life for us Christians. In other words, every moment of every day is to be an offering of praise and thanksgiving to God for all that He's done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by God's grace, every thought, every word, every deed is an act of stewardship to the glory and honor of God. Today's sermon title is God's Stewards Live in the Present and Look to the Future. Simply put, you are now God's stewards because you have the forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ. And that means you get to live as His stewards in this world. However, you have not yet experienced the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting in God's new creation. We believers will receive those gifts when Jesus returns on the final day. Therefore, we continue to live for God in the here and now, but we also remember that this sinful world is not our home. And so we can look forward to a future eternal life without sin or death in God's new creation. The fact that we are forgiven now and have certain hope for the future, that's what motivates us to live as God's stewards in this world, even though that may mean experiencing trials and persecution. For example, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read that we Christians live our lives on the foundation of Jesus and His work for us. Paul stressed that Jesus died for our sins and that He rose from the dead, and all this according to the Scriptures which point ahead to Jesus and His saving work for us. Now at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul reminds us that death itself has been destroyed by Jesus' resurrection for us. Therefore, we Christians can face death knowing that we can look forward to our bodies being resurrected, sinless and immortal, and that we will live in God's love forever. Then, after reminding us of our future hope in Christ, Paul writes these words, which are actually words about stewardship. He writes, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Now allow me at this point to explain Paul's teaching by first refuting two opposite but equally dangerous errors that the devil would like us to embrace. The first error is this. The first error is being so earthly minded that we are no heavenly good. Being so earthly minded that we are no heavenly good. An example of that error is summed up in a popular slogan that Paul quotes to the Corinthian Christians. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, he says, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Simply put, if we forget about our future destiny and focus only on the things of this world, we can fall into the sin of hedonism. And hedonism means that we think the purpose of life is to get all we can for ourselves before it's too late. You've heard other slogans like this. You only live once. Look out for number one. But what all these worldly slogans have in common is that life is about being happy. And being happy supposedly means living as you please, fulfilling every desire, and serving yourself. When we find ourselves being tempted by these seductive slogans, we must repent and then remember that our sins have been forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross for us. In fact, this salvation means that we get to live as God's stewards, and that means living according to His will and doing all that we do to His glory. Living as God's stewards also means that we do all we can to support the mission of Christ's church so that more people will hear the gospel and be brought to faith in Christ and receive His salvation. As we heard in our reading from 2 Peter, God wants all to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And that happens through the ongoing mission of Christ's church. In addition, we must remember our future hope in God's love. No matter what trials or challenges we face in this world, these do not compare with the joy and peace we will experience for all eternity in God's new creation. That's why Paul wrote these words in Romans chapter 8. He said, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." So, we should not be so earthly minded that we are no heavenly good. Paul says we should always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. But what is the work of the Lord? Well, first of all, the work of the Lord means using your time and your abilities and your money to support the mission of Christ's church. However, we need to realize that the work of the Lord is by no means limited to your work at church. The work of the Lord also includes living according to God's will in all the other areas of your lives. So the work of the Lord includes living as a godly spouse, living as a godly child, living as a godly employer or employee, living as a godly student, a godly citizen, a godly friend, a godly neighbor, and so on. In other words, the work of the Lord includes every aspect of our lives as we strive to do all that we do to the glory of God. Now, having said that, I would like to warn us about the second error. The second error is this: being so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. Being heavenly minded to the exclusion of being an earthly good. In other words, the devil would like us to ignore our present earthly responsibilities and focus exclusively on our future destiny. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with focusing on our future destiny in Christ. For example, in our second reading from 2 Peter, we're told that the new creation will be given to us in the final day. We can look forward to that. Also, in our gospel reading, Jesus reminds us that this world is not our home and that we can look forward to the eternal home that we will have when Christ returns. However, even though we have this hope, God does not want us to focus only on this future hope and then ignore our present work that He has given us to do. In other words, God wants us to be His stewards in this world. For example, as I already alluded to earlier, God wants us to be good stewards in our marriages and families, learning to love and serve and forgive one another. God wants us to remember also that there are many other people in this world who have no future hope because they do not trust Christ in the present. And God wants us to be in mission to them. In addition, God wants us to view our present vocation, whatever that vocation may be, He wants us to use our vocation as His instrument to serve others in this world. In other words, we should view our job as being so much more than just a paycheck. Even though we do work to support ourselves, we should also see our job as God's way of serving others through us. On top of that, God wants us Christians to influence our culture by obeying the good laws of our land and by doing what we can to change the bad laws of our land that hurt people or promote evil. We need to be involved in our society and work to make this world a better place. Now, of course, some people say, well, why bother? The world is going to burn anyway. Well, I realize that this world is broken by sin and that evil will exist on this planet till the very day that Jesus returns. But that doesn't mean that we Christians focus only on our future hope and then watch the world burn around us. God wants us to be involved in this world and to do what we can to make it the best place it can be until that final day when Jesus returns and brings about a new creation. Well, I've summed up those two opposite but equally dangerous errors that we Christians must avoid. But the fact is this: we're all guilty of falling into one or both of these errors from time to time. And that's exactly why we always need Jesus. Remember the first point of biblical stewardship? We must receive from God. Simply put, no matter how hard we strive to live as God's stewards in this world, we will fall short of doing it perfectly. Therefore, we must constantly receive from Jesus by relying on His perfect stewardship of us. You see, Jesus will always care for us and protect us by showering us with His forgiveness and love. So we must keep our focus on Jesus and all that He has done for us. Only then will we have the desire and the strength to live as God's stewards in this world. Our motivation for wanting to serve the Lord comes from focusing on Jesus and all that He has done for us. In fact, Jesus knew that living as His stewards in this world would be a challenge for us. You see, living as God's steward not only means fighting against the desires of your own sinful nature, and also resisting the seductive temptations of this evil world, but on top of all that, as you strive to live according to God's will and proclaim His truth in this world, you may find that the world will respond either by ignoring you, or by mocking you, or even by persecuting you. So as we strive to live as God's stewards, we may face troubles that will overwhelm us. But I want you to listen again to what Jesus says. He says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Now, what do those words of Jesus mean for you today? I'm going to mention two things. First, you have complete and total forgiveness right now in the present. Even though you have not always been the godly steward you ought to be, even though you sin against God more times than you can imagine, you can come to Christ with your guilt and shame and know that you are already completely and fully forgiven because of His work for you. Jesus' blood has washed away the guilt of your sin and He has clothed you with His own righteousness. You are God's dearly loved and forgiven child in the present. And that gospel is your motivation for living as God's steward in the present. Second point, you also have a certain hope for the future. We not only believe in the forgiveness of sins that we have right now, but as it says in the Creed, we also believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting that is waiting for us in the future. So when the troubles of this sinful world get you down, you must remember that there is an eternal light at the end of the tunnel, and His name is Jesus. You have an eternal future hope in Him that can never be taken away from you, not even by death itself. And this certain future hope gives us comfort and strength to live for Christ in the present. Today, many churches around the world are celebrating Transfiguration Sunday. Maybe you remember what the Transfiguration is. It was that time when Jesus went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there He revealed all His glory to them as the eternal Son of God. Now, why did He do that? Well, earlier on, He had told them that He was getting ready to go to Jerusalem and die on a cross. And they couldn't get through their heads how God could die. You see, they wanted Jesus to be in control and use His power to wipe out the Romans and get things in order. But instead, He was humbling Himself and He was going to allow people to nail Him to a cross. And they couldn't understand. They thought Jesus was out of control, that He wasn't in control. So Jesus takes them up on the mountain and shines all His glory to them to remind them, yes, He is in control. Even though He's going to the cross, He's in control and they can trust Him. But then after the Mountain of Transfiguration experience, He went back to His humble self and continued His journey to the cross. You see, the apostles wanted to stay on that mountain. They wanted the future glory right here and now. But Jesus explained to them that they could not have the hope of the future unless He first went to the cross in the present. Jesus carried His cross in the present and looked to the future resurrection. You see, Transfiguration Sunday is the beginning of the Lenten season. We're on the glory on Transfiguration Sunday, but then we descend into the season of Lent and journey with Jesus to the cross. Lent reminds us that in this world we have trouble because of sin. And so we follow Jesus to the cross in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. When you leave this place today, I want you to remember the sermon title, God's Stewards Live in the Present and We Look to the Future. Your sins are forgiven right now, and you have the certain future eternal hope in Christ. Or, as Paul said, therefore stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.